Okay, so what's today? Mother's Day. So who has a mom or a grandma or someone that does a lot for you? Mr. Lee has a grandma. Nice. So, moms are pretty important. So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Okay? One, I'm going to scream and yell at you about obeying your mom. You ready? Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Here's the key part. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Now, that doesn't just mean that your parents are going to wipe you out when you get in trouble. Because we obey our parents, because if we can't obey our parents and we can't honor our parents, how am I supposed to obey or honor God? Right? It's easier to obey and honor someone you can see, you can touch. So if I can't obey my parents and honor them, how do I obey and honor God? So today, we're going to do a little honoring for the moms in here. You ready? Now, we've got some kids missing today. I didn't tell them I was doing this, so I don't know why they're skipping out. But I want you guys to find three women in here and tell them, not family. Cannot be your own mom or grandma. Find three women and tell them, Happy Mother's Day. And then you guys can get out of here. Okay? All right, go. Okay, maybe I should have said three different ones. You can't do the same ones all. Lisa's just following Jordan around. Sharon will take one. Miss Sharon will take one. Here, there's one right here. Get her. And there's one. Okay, we got to get one more, right? There's one right over there. Go get that. No? We go with who we're comfortable with, right? All right, good job, kiddos. Have fun.
Today I'll be reading Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering greatly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dog. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's tables. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment.
Lee, you want to pray for us? So I am a big believer that whether a woman in a church has had her own kids or not, that she has a huge influence on the children in the church. Okay? And it's an amazing influence, and many times it's an influence that is just as great, just in different ways, than their actual mom. So, the kids got to go around and tell someone Happy Mother's Day. You guys, I'm going to have to put a little bit of a time limit on. I want you to take the next minute and find one or two people you have not seen yet this morning and find a woman and tell her Happy Mother's Day. Go. Yeah. Go give Karen a hug next to Jackie. All right, you got 30 seconds. All right, start finding your seats. I know, I opened up Pandora's box, but. You know, we look at Mother's Day, and there are lots of women in the Bible we can look at, right? Lots of women that you guys know of. You've got the mother of Moses, you got the mother of Samuel. You've got Esther. You've got Ruth. You obviously have Mary, Jesus' mom. But I want to look at a woman that most people skim right past and don't think about because she just is mentioned a few verses. She has no name. And yet, as we look at it, we see a woman of great faith. A woman who got an answer to her prayer. And I think a woman that we can all learn from a great deal. Now, we all know that moms all around the world, women all around the world, have troubles. We have struggles, right? We have things in our life that impede us. We have things that we battle with. We have things that we have to fight through. And this mom was no different. She was a Gentile woman. She was a Canaanite. And by culture and language, she would have been Greek. And all indications are that to this point in her life, she was a pagan. She worshipped multiple gods, whoever was local in her community. But today, there was going to be a change. And while I said we all have problems, as with every parent, the greatest problem has to do with your kids. With her, it was her daughter. Now, I would guess that she had all the same problems that all the other women in the area had. You had to feed your family. You had to water your family. It was kind of... I do say water your family because you had to go get the water and bring it back. So if you ever watered animals on a farm, it's the same thing. In fact, very few places in the world have plumbing and have water just pop out this little faucet. They've got to go get it. And so is, am I getting enough water for the family for today? Do I have enough food for the family today? I've got to fix the family for today. And when you read Proverbs, there are lots of preachers today that are not being original, and they're preaching on Proverbs 31. Right? How many of you have ever heard a Mother's Day message on Proverbs 31? What a great wife and woman. Yeah. Okay. They're not creative. I'm creative. Thanks, Carl. Carl appreciates it. So she had all these other things. You know, she may have been quilting, trying to do things to make money for the family. The other thing, we don't know if there's dad. We don't have that information. She might have been a single mom. Dad may have passed away. She might be doing this all on her own. But all of those problems pale next to what's going on with her daughter. Now, for most of us, with our kids, the struggle with them is, you know, they get sick. They have the high fever. They're throwing up, and you're trying not to throw up while they're throwing up, you know. How many know what I'm saying? Yeah. Anxious hours as they get old enough to be out and about with friends at night, waiting up for them to come home, stalking them as they're doing things out and about. Daughters on dates at movies and you're sitting the row behind them, things like that. Watching your kids make poor choices. Just wishing you would have learned from my poor choice instead of making it. Then going, I understand why my parents were the way they were, because I made the poor choices. But in this case, it's demon possession. When it comes to your kids, no problem seems small. Now, here's the bigger issue with this problem. See, because when it comes to them being sick, there are things you can try to do to help them. You can treat them at home sometimes. You can get them to the doctor. You can get them to the hospital. You can work on trying to get the treatments they need to help them. When they're out and about and you're anxious about them, if you know where they're at, you can go get them. Today, they probably have a cell phone. You can call them. When they make poor choices, you can talk to them and try to speak wisdom in their lives. But this problem was the problem that was beyond mom's abilities. What is mom going to do about this demon taking over her child? I want to take this quick side note. Don't think it doesn't happen. Don't think the spirit world is not powerful. Don't think there aren't demons trying to grab our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. She was under attack. And I think the hardest problem we have to deal with is the devil's attack on our kids. When we see it, I think we see the importance of us praying for protection for them. It's funny, in the elders' meeting, we've prayed several times about protection for the church and the people within the church. And, you know, most people say they pray for a hedge of protection, but I was listening to a speaker one time. He said, why are we praying for a hedge? Why don't we pray for a giant wall? Well, every morning in my prayer time is prayers for protection for my kids, to protect their heart, to protect their mind, to protect their spirit, to protect their body. There's importance in praying for that protection because two things. One, there is nothing else you can do. And two, it's the most important thing you can do is to pray for them. But this mom, as a pagan, doesn't have that. All she sees is the torture that her daughter is going through. All she knew was that there was nothing she could do about it. Till she heard about this guy. this Yeshua. I heard about this guy that seems to have power over demons. He seems to have power over illnesses. He's got all these people following him, listening to him. And so she comes to Jesus with her problem. Why did she come? She came because she believed what she heard. She believed what was going around about him. She believed he had something to offer. I would argue there's a chance that she believed in his deity. I mean, we're in Matthew chapter 15 here. So Jesus has been operating his ministry for a while. But she definitely believed in his power to answer her request. We don't bring it to someone if we don't believe they can do something about it, right? I mean, I'm not going to bring, unless I'm just griping, which I do occasionally, I'm not going to bring my problem to just anybody. I'm going to bring it to someone who can do something about it. My car breaks, where do I go? I don't go to the dentist. I go to the mechanic. And so she believed that he could answer her request. She believed not only that he could answer it, but that he was interested, he cared enough, and that he would answer it. Would you take it to someone that you didn't believe would answer it or cared? But something very interesting and probably very disheartening for her happens. As you get into verse 23, she has come to him. Please help. My daughter's possessed by a demon. He torments her constantly. But verse 23, but Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Jesus didn't answer at first. Now we can gather that she didn't quit, though. Because in the same verse, the disciples urged Jesus to tell her to go away. Which means she was, guys, should I use the N-word? Nagging. Brian, I live on the edge, man. The disciples wanted her to go away. She was nagging him, kept asking. She kept asking because it didn't seem to be going anywhere. Jesus wasn't responding. He's not answering. He's not saying a peep. In fact, I'm picturing he might not even be looking at her. But she's got the disciples attention. You ever felt that way? I've been coming to Jesus, and I've been coming to him. I don't hear him saying anything. I don't even know if he hears me. Well, she gives us part of the answer to that. Because in spite of the discouragement of no response from Jesus, she kept persisting. We are told in Scripture to bring our requests before God. And so she kept persisting. She kept asking. In fact, I want you to see something really interesting in verse 25. Not only did she keep persisting, but the reason I think she saw the deity in Jesus, verse 25, but she came and worshiped him. She worshiped him. She was still at his feet. She was pleading, Lord, help me. Can you see it? Lord, help me. There is nowhere else to go. There is nothing I can do. Nobody can fix this except you. I'm picturing her. I would get down on my knees, but I probably would have to roll myself back up. She's on her knees. Lord, you are God. You have the power. She worshiped him. Now, I keep keying on that word because this is a disciple of Christ writing this. So he knew what worshiping was. Lord, help me. It was a simple prayer. It was a simple request. It wasn't elaborate. And as she keeps begging, Jesus finally responds, but it is not the response she anticipates. Verse 26, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Now, how many of you have read this passage before and you read that part and you went, huh? Well, that's not politically correct. Because he just called the lady a dog. Edit that part out of my message. I don't want that getting... Now Jesus is saying these strange, weird things about dogs and calling her a dog. Well, this is where we fight back against revisionists because you have to understand the culture. You have to understand the context. You have to understand the language that was used at the time. Dog was a normal term that was used by Jews towards Gentiles. And it was used by them because they believed that the Gentiles were no more likely to get the God's blessing and his grace than the dogs were. So the woman knew exactly what he was saying. She understood exactly, which is why she had the response she had pretty quickly. It wasn't the first time she had been called a dog. It wasn't the first time that a Jew had called her a dog. So she knew. See, I think he was testing her faith. But he wasn't testing her faith for himself. I mean, we talk about God is testing your faith. He's not testing your faith for him. He knows what your faith is. He knows how strong your faith is. He knows what level your faith is. He doesn't need to test it for himself and God go, I didn't see that response coming. That's interesting. He already knows. He's testing your faith for you. How many of you love exercising? Yeah, I wouldn't put my hand up either. I do it so I don't croak from a heart attack and I fit in clothes. That's about it. But what happens in exercise? You build up the strength. It grows. Your muscles grow. You get more fit. What happens to your faith is it gets tested. It gets stretched and then it stays there and it gets stretched and it stays there and it gets stretched and it stays there. Jesus was testing her faith for her, and he was testing her faith so the others could see. Because this event, while in here it's like seven verses, obviously had a big enough impact that Matthew decided he needed to put it in the gospel. Because don't forget that when you read in John, John tells us that this is just a small amount of what Jesus did. If we gave you everything from all of his ministry of 3 years, it would take volumes. So this was important enough and impactful enough that it took up this passage right here and it was added in, which means we shouldn't skip past it. Her faith was being tested for her and it was for someone else. And her response, see, because Jesus said it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. And she responds, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. You're right. But we still get something. See, she gets a statement from Jesus that I hope I get. Check what he says. Dear woman, your faith is great. Wouldn't that be something that Jesus looked you in the eye and said, your faith is great. Her faith that he was the one that could fix this, that he was the one that could do this, was what kept driving her on. It kept giving her hope. And Jesus finally tells her that her faith was great. And in the end, he gives her an answer. Your request is granted. Now, side note, that's some pretty awesome power, huh? There's no like incantations or dancing around or any of that. Your faith is great. Okay, you can have it. Boom, done. He promises her that her daughter is fine. But I was thinking about this, and there's a part of this that I don't want us to miss, because we read that her daughter was healed instantly, but her faith had to stay because we don't read that her daughter's there. We don't know where she is. Is her daughter with her? Well, she doesn't say anything about wanting him to touch her. If you just lay your hand on her, she'll be healed, or any of that. So we don't necessarily have evidence that she's there. We don't have evidence that she's not, but we don't know that she's there. And there have been other times where Jesus did something where the person who had the faith had to wait. Remember the dad who came out to him? And then they came out and told him it's too late. And then all of a sudden he found out she was healed, and she was healed while he was going back home after Jesus said, okay. So for all we know, he tells her that your request is granted. He doesn't say your daughter's healed. But I'm actually wondering, she maybe didn't know. Okay, he said it's granted. I'm on my way home to see her. I mean, I would guess she didn't bring her, because by this point, Jesus had crowds following him. And it would have been difficult to get a demon-possessed child close to Jesus. So I'm guessing she's not there. So I think she had to lean on that faith all the way home. And you wonder if maybe dad was there and dad was at home with her. Maybe her sister was there. I don't know. But can you picture it, that whoever was with her comes sees mom returning and comes running out the door. Mom, you won't believe it. It stopped. She's healed. When did it happen? Oh, 20 minutes ago. That's when he told me. Okay, so what? I mean, it's a cool story. Well, I think the first thing we get is that we're to come to him with our struggles. But we're to come to him with everything. Come to him with your struggles. Come to him with your joys. Come to him for protection. Come to him for direction. And then rely on the promise that he answers. He will answer. For those that believe in him, he will answer. I have some bad news, though. He doesn't necessarily answer someone who doesn't believe. He promises answers to those who are in his family, to those who are part of his kingdom. He promises you an answer. But be ready for whatever that answer is. It may not be the answer you want. It may not be done the way you anticipate it being done. He may do it better than you ever thought. It may be a little more painful than you thought. Be ready for whatever that answer is, and be ready to be grateful for that answer. Because he is God. He is the God of the universe. And he does get to do whatever he wants to do. But he also knows what's best. He cared for you enough to come down to this earth, this rock, and die on a tree in one of the most horrific ways that is known to man. He loves you. He loves you and knows you like you don't love you and know you. So be grateful for the response, because whatever that answer is, it's to bring him glory so that others can come to him, so he can reveal that to others. And when he does that, I believe that we can change the world with these prayers. We can change the world when we come to him with these things. We know there are very few things as powerful as a mother's prayer. Do you know why? Not because it's mom. Because a mother's prayer is heartfelt. It's genuine. It has nothing to do with superficial things. We have the same power in an honest, heartfelt prayer as his follower. When we truly surrender those to him, they will work out in his time and his way. We saw that with the mom here. Now remember, you can't read scripture as the events take as long as it takes you to read it. So by reading this passage, I'm guessing mom was there pestering these guys for hours. We read it in 47 seconds. That's not how fast this event happened. She kept coming and coming. It will happen in his time. It will happen in his way. So the encouragement is, stay in front of him. What did she do? She stayed in front of him. She kept coming. She kept coming. She kept coming. Till the disciples, because they're like us, they weren't that smart and compassionate by this point. Jesus, send this lady away. She's driving us nuts. Stay in front of him with everything, every day. When you do, I truly believe he will show you his incredible works. He will show you amazing things. And those things will bring others to know him. Now bring them to know him in the midst of whatever is going on in their life. Let's pray. Father, you have lessons for us in every single page of every single paragraph, of every single sentence in your word. And there's so much for us to take from this woman coming before your son. We are to be persistent. To keep coming before you. Not because you don't know or because you forget. But because you're showing us. You're teaching us. And you're showing and teaching others. But I also know that you want us. Because you want to spend time with us. You want our relationship with you to grow. That we can over time get a smidgen of an understanding of the love you have for us. So whatever it is you want us to take from this today, I lay it before you. Work in our hearts and minds. Help us to keep you first and foremost, glorifying you and praising you no matter what we face, no matter what happens. And to count it worthy when we are to be persecuted for you. And that till our last breath leaves our lips, we praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand if you're able for our closing song. And always, always, no matter what kind of a storm you may be in, chaos, difficulty, Jesus Christ is always, always your only anchor. He is your front and your rear guard. He is the protector, the comforter of your soul.
When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. And when I'm feeling like I've been let down by my friends and my family, I can hear the rain reminding me, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, see the future that I pictured slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When they let me go and I just don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet, I did my best, now I'm scared to death that we might lose everything. When a sickness takes my child away and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.